We all have regrets in life and our career, so who better to give retirement advice than a retiree who can tell you what they regret now that they're retired? Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Barakat Khalili. This pod exists to help you take back control of your money and your life. In this episode, you're going to hear about retirees and the regrets they now have in retirement. It's going to be a learning lesson, especially for those of us with a few more working years left. But before we get to that, I'm going to share a story about a baseball coach who made his job look a little too easy. There were approximately 120 players at that showcase on Saturday morning. I imagine the other coaches and recruiters were probably struggling to keep an eye on all 120. They were observing, analyzing, evaluating, and then probably going home and going over their notes, trying to sift through the data and gain insights from that. But this coach only had to watch 20 players. He made it look easy because he did the work that no one else saw. Apparently, there's a saying in baseball, respect the game, which means do the homework, understand the rules, and do the work. Now, think about other games we play, and I use game in air quotes there. Our finances, our career, our relationships, our families, our passion projects. How do you respect the game in those areas? What's the homework you're not doing? It seems like a law of nature. You put in the work for years, and then you become an overnight success. Before you're successful, it's called hard work. After you're successful, everyone thinks it's luck, or they want to know what is your secret. And the thing is, there really is a secret. One of my coaches likes to say, your secret weapon is the patient execution of what everyone else knows they should be doing. Instead of looking for shortcuts, focus your efforts on the long cuts. Instead of trying to be an overnight success, focus on the process of mastery. You're going to enjoy this story that a coaching friend of mine shared with me, and it's about a key or a secret to success in any endeavor that you take on and how you can really separate yourself from the crowd. This friend of mine has a son who plays baseball, and he went to a showcase event where his son was participating along with several other players who were basically showcasing their skills. And there were coaches and recruiters at this event. And my friend noticed a coach that he knows was there at the event, but he seemed like he wasn't really paying attention to the players when their names were being called. He seemed to be basically just pretty disengaged. So he walks up to him and to find out what's going on. And he asks him, you know, why do you seem so uninterested in what's going on here? And the coach shared with him the work that he did, which most people didn't see. See, he pointed out that he showed up at the complex earlier that day before anyone else showed up. And he stood at the gate. And as he said, he watched the players walk into the complex. Some players didn't have their shirts tucked or wore their hats off to the side. Some were wearing flip-flops and others were dragging their bags behind them. I scratched through quite a few names there. Then I watched later as they went onto the field to warm up. Some still hadn't tucked their shirts. Some were lobbing the ball in warmups. If the ball got past them, they would walk after it. I scratched through more names then. I watched the group as the showcase leaders were outlining the rules of the day and what would come next. You can see respect and who was paying attention and who thought the rules didn't apply to them. I scratched through more names. It's how you approach the game that's so important. So I did most of my work before the showcase even started. I'm here to watch 15 to 20 players. When I hear their name called and they come up, I turn around and I pay attention. So you see, at that event, there were 120 players on that Saturday morning. And while most of the other coaches and recruiters were probably working really hard to focus on all of those players and try to analyze and evaluate them in real time and keep up with that and be able to then sift through that data, this coach, the savvy, smart coach, did a lot of his work early on. And because he put in that time, he was able to reduce that 120 players down to just a couple of dozen that he had to pay attention to. And now his bandwidth to be able to follow those players is, it's a lot easier to manage that than it is to manage, you know, watching 120 players. And this is a really great lesson because it's just so counterintuitive. By putting in seemingly more work, showing up early, he made the process of evaluating those players at the event a lot easier. One concern I often hear in retirement planning conversations is the fear of getting it wrong. The other day, in fact, I was speaking with a lady and she was telling me how she was intimidated by the big numbers to the point of being overwhelmed. What she said to me was that she wanted to, quote, get it right. And I see this concern, you know, come up often. Sometimes a Rams listener will tell me and kind of downplay the work they've done, even up to the point where they're ready to retire, saying, you know, I don't have much. But what I tell them is what I'm telling you, that if you get to a point where your nest egg grows to $500,000 plus, you're a savvy, intelligent investor who's been able to accomplish what a lot of people haven't. And you don't want to downplay that work. This is your life savings, and this is important. For some people, the uncertainty of the future is part of the adventure, and for others, it's a cause for concern. This is why I think learning from retirees is so valuable. You know, you want the advice of someone who's been there and who's done that, because you know that they know what they're talking about. So enter this survey done by the organization Medicare FAQ. It's an organization by insurance companies, and they sell policies related to Medicare. And their survey from early in 2024 included 569 respondents with ages ranging from 27 to 90, and the average age being 65. And they basically focused on talking to folks who are retired, asking them some questions about what it's like, to gain some insights from regrets that they have and lessons that can be shared with people younger than them who have yet to get to retirement. One question they asked was, did you save enough for retirement? 46% said yes, 54% said no. So when you factor in that margin of error, essentially you have an even 50-50 split here. Now, 60% of the respondents said that they didn't start saving early enough. And we'll see this motif throughout the data, that even though they arrived at retirement financially well off, finances are still a concern for majority of people. Now, out of the 26%, a little more than one in four said that they have regrets now that they're retired. What are those biggest regrets? Well, there are five that were pointed out. The main one, 78% of this group said that they didn't save enough money or prioritize their finances. 52% of this group said they didn't prioritize their health. And the remaining three were kind of a smattering of different regret, like not having a good work-life balance, not traveling enough, not spending enough time with family. Out of this survey sample, 1 in 10 said that they delayed retirement, and there were four main reasons given. Out of this group, 49% did say that they enjoyed working. 38% of this group said that they didn't have enough money saved. A third of this group said that they were delaying retirement for a higher Social Security payout. And 31% of this group said they delayed retirement to maintain health insurance coverage. So one way that I was kind of interpreting this is that out of these four reasons, three of them, while one of them is explicitly financially related, but three of them are related to finances too. So it just kind of goes to reinforce this theme that finances are a major obstacle and concern and challenge in retirement planning. So we saw that a little more than one in four retirees had regrets. 23% said that they struggled to find purpose in retirement. Now, keep in mind, 90%, 9 in 10 of the retirees said that they do enjoy being retired, but about one in four are saying that they're struggling to find purpose and fulfillment. Now, 93% did say that they have time to enjoy things that they didn't or couldn't do while they were working full time. 74% said that they retired early, although the survey didn't say exactly what that meant in terms of what defines early. And of those who did retire early, only 20% of them regretted it. So that's good. 1 in 4 said that they plan to continue working during retirement. 18% said that they currently volunteer. They also asked a question about the transition to retirement compared to their expectations. Was it easier or harder? Now, 44% said that it was easier to transition to retirement than they expected, and 22% that said that it was harder. And you had 34% saying that it was neutral. So I think these stats are interesting because it speaks to the image and perception we have about retirement. The conventional notions that we have are an artifact of the post-war era. this is a phase of life where you're no longer working, which means you're no longer doing anything useful. You sit at home watching TV, you go golfing, maybe take the occasional cruise every other year. Today, people are living longer, which means retirement can last up to 20 or 30 years, almost as long as your working career. And the digital age, of course, that we live in has also changed the nature of our work, the way we work. So the goals and expectations people have around retirement are also changing. Over the last 3 years, I've had hundreds of conversations with people before and after retirement, and it's been an invaluable education for me. It's helped me to start to see retirement as a phase of life where you have more freedom, flexibility, and control over your work life, over your schedule, over your lifestyle. In a sense, it's kind of like going from a phase of life where you're working to live to a new phase of life where you're living to work. You go from having a job because you need to pay the bills, you need to send your kids to college or put them through school, you need to pay off the mortgage, but eventually you get to a point where you have enough assets providing a passive income to cover those expenses that you have. And now you have more freedom and you don't necessarily go to work because you have to work. Now you have a new relationship with work. For some people, it can mean now they can afford the luxury of pursuing a passion full time that may not be able to pay them. For others, retirement can also be the time where you focus more on your legacy than your ambition. That is, you're spending more time creating an impact on others, like being a mentor, being a coach, because you've already climbed the ladder. You've created a long track record of success and accomplished everything you can accomplish in your career. And so now you're looking at ways to make an impact on others. And for some people, it might mean continuing to do what you're doing, but scaling back to a lighter schedule, or maybe going from being a W-2 employee to working on a contract basis. This gives you more time with family or going on travel adventures. Still a few years away from retirement, whenever I talk that stage, I always suggest thinking about planning around a gradual transition rather than an abrupt stop to working. As I heard in a recent sermon a few weeks back, my pastor said that you'll retire from your career, but that doesn't mean you're retired from living with purpose and meaning. So as long as you're here, you have something to do, and that's a continuum, and it doesn't change just because you're no longer, you know, working full time. And so the main thing I want you to take away from this is that retirement is not just the end of one chapter, but the beginning of another chapter of your life. And it's certainly not the end of your life. And it's not the end of your purpose for being here. It's a transition to a new chapter, new stage of your life. And so it's up to you to look at that and decide, what are you going to create in this new stage of your life? You can fight back the feeling of overwhelm and intimidation by doing the homework to create your plan for retirement. One thing you can do is go back to episode 9, where I share the 3 key numbers you need to know before retiring. You can also go to leavenormalbehind.life, where I have a couple of resources for you. One is you can get a copy of my 5-point financial planning checklist. The other resource, if you'd like to chat with me, you can click the link to register for my next monthly Ask Me Anything call. It's a live call where you can bring your questions and get some one-on-one advice with me. As always, I'm grateful for your time and attention. Look forward to speaking with you again. This is Barry Kent-Khalili, signing off. Discussions in this podcast should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and SmartPro Financial are not affiliated.